B-Pod Studios.
Ambassador, put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent, burning up the phone lines, record number listeners, all the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in a drive time slot, it's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, mic's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. And welcome to a Monday where a lot of folks are off, Martin Luther King Day. So if you're lounging around today and you're watching us on television, welcome. And we'll kick around some sports conversation. A lot of things to talk about today, actually, on a Monday here as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. All right, let's talk first about the playoffs. And, you know, I was looking at Twitter after the Patriots won the game, and I'm thinking, how in the world can anybody still be petty enough to dislike the greatness that is Tom Brady? I just don't understand it. I know you don't like the Patriots. You don't like Brady for whatever reason. I don't know. He's too perfect. He's got a model wife. He wears Uggs. Whatever the frick your reasons are. He is the best who ever played the game. And if you did not come to that conclusion after watching that game, that playoff game, then I feel sorry for you. Then you are trapped by this ice casing of hate that you're never going to be get out of it. And I started to think, in my lifetime, I have been fortunate enough, and I know a lot of people who are around my age have been also fortunate enough to witness the greatest players to ever play their sport. And I'm talking about Tom Brady, who is the best quarterback ever. Not even a question. Don't even give me Joe Montana, who was great, but he's 30,000 yards less than what Brady is. Brady has played in 9 Super Bowls. Don't give me the Montana argument anymore. Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Muhammad Ali, Tiger Woods. We have witnessed the best of the best in this particular era of sports. Now, I'm going to get fought on the Tom Brady today.
He's a cheater. He's been bad. And Patriots cheat.
It's about time you all grew up. All right? I tell you right now, I couldn't believe the stuff I was reading. He's the luckiest quarterback. He's lucky? He converted 4 third downs, 3 of them 3rd and 10, on that drive, the game-winning drive that wins them a spot in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he's lucky. He's a lucky quarterback. So we'll kick that around a little bit. And, of course, we got to kick around this story that hit today, which is very controversial. And the story was in the Philly Voice. And it was written by a guy named Joe Sanliquido, who I know very well. I'm not here to pass judgment on the story, but I will kind of like add little tidbits on why a story like this is so dangerous to publish. Now, it was published by the Philly Voice. I don't know from the Philly Voice. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't really pay attention to the Philly Voice. I know it was created to be a rival Philly.com. I don't know their history of hiring reporters. I don't know how stringent their editors are. But when you write a story like this, and this actually story kind of buries the lead. I mean, if you got a story like this, it should be in the lead. You have to read like several paragraphs to find out what they're actually talking about. And what they're basically saying is that Wentz is a cancer. Carson Wentz is a cancer within the locker room. And I'll just read what they have to say here. And you can tell me whether you find this story irresponsible or not. Now, I don't know who the sources were, and I'm not a guy in a position to question anybody's sources. If he developed sources, whether they be anonymous or not, that indicated this, then I guess you got to roll with the story. But as an editor, with a story like this, and my reporter comes to me with this kind of story, write down every one of your sources. I know you don't like to do that. I know your reporter like to protect your sources. But before I run this story, you got to tell me every guy who was a source to this story, because I just can't go publish. And that's what the problem of publishing today is. The social media world of publishing just publishes stuff. and there's no longer a checks and balance. So basically the story says, over the past 2 months, Philly Voice spoke with more than a half dozen players. That could be seven. There's 53 on a team. Plus other sources close to the team who all requested to remain anonymous, fearing repercussions given Wentz's power within the organization. And what they told us paints a somewhat different picture of the Eagles' locker room and their franchise quarterback than one might expect. The story goes on to say that Mike Groh is a good coach who was, quote, bullied by Wentz, and that the problem with the offense doesn't belong to Groh, it belongs to Wentz. The story says that the true Wentz is complicated, with sources describing him as selfish, uncompromising, egotistical, one who plays favorites and doesn't like to be questioned, one who needs to practice what he preaches and fails to take accountability. Numerous sources confirmed that Wentz was verbally attacked by a highly respected teammate for not being a team guy. And here's the ultimate damning quote. Carson Wentz's biggest enemy is Carson Wentz, said one source. He's had his ass kissed his whole life and sometimes act like he's won 10 Super Bowls when he hasn't played in, let alone won, a playoff game yet. You don't have to be a brain surgeon or a football expert to see how differently this team plays and reacts with one guy as opposed to the other. You know what a story like this does? It gives life to the Folesian Society. Oh, the Folesian Society is reading this story, and they're going like this.
How's everyone doing?
Now, this is a very damning story. And when you say that you spoke with more than a half a dozen players, plus sources close to the team, you need to nail it down a little harder than just publish a story like this. Now, I know that they're probably trying to publish a story to be splashy, to get their name on the map, because I don't think the Philly Voice is, frankly, on the map. But I'm not sure that you can run a story like this with only sources from a half a dozen players when main players on the team have then come out to say it's total BS. Guys like Fletcher Cox, guys like Lane Johnson, guys like Brandon Brooks. You can talk to those guys. See, when you run a story like this, you better talk to the big guys in the squad if they can verify this or not. And like I said, I'm not here to question a guy's sources. If he's got sources, he's got sources. If he stands solidly behind a story, he stands solidly behind a story. But if you're an editor, before this story sees the light of day, you better go through hoops to determine whether it's true or not. That's all I'm saying. So we'll talk about it. We'll also talk about the Sixers today and their crippling loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And what happened in the end of that game, where a lot of people are blaming Ben Simmons, and rightfully so, because Ben Simmons kind of quit on the play. You know, the last play of the game, he runs Jimmy Butler into a double team. But my problem is, there's no variations off the play. When you design a play, and it's going to go to Jimmy Butler, and the play is for a handoff from Ben Simmons, nobody's playing Ben Simmons once he hands the ball off. So if that double team is there, you got to have a plan B, which I thought might be J.J. Redick at the foul line instead of buried in the corner where Butler could have maybe split a double team, got it to J.J. Redick for a 15-footer that wins the game. That didn't happen. I got a lot of problems with that play. It steamed me. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're live Monday. We're working on Martin Luther King Day. We're back with your calls after this.
Fanatic Sports Update. update.
Another Brady Bowl. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Valentine's Day is almost here. Get your girlfriend or wife a gift she will be proud to wear. Go to Family and Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. The New England Patriots will head back to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years after beating the Chiefs last night, 37-31. They'll face the Rams, who beat the Saints 26-23. Sixers fell to the Thunder on Saturday, 117-115. They'll face the Rockets tonight at 8. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic. Our Sixers in 60 show will lead you into the game at 7. And Keith Pompey checks it with Mike today at 3. Flyers won their third in a row on Saturday, beating the Canadiens 5-2. The team is now on their bye. They'll take the ice again next Monday against the Jets at home. You're so close to finishing the day. Keep going with P3 Portable Protein Pack. It's a combination of meat, cheese, and nuts. Grab the more interesting way to get your protein with P3. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
Joel Embiid with a jam. A right-hand throwdown. He dribbled right down Broad Street.
Sixers, Rockets. Tonight at 8 on your home for 76ers basketball. 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
O'clock hour is the Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. All right, Sixers coming off a heartbreaking loss. They'll take some time to talk some Sixers now, take a break from the madness that was the NFL playoffs over the weekend, and the story in this Philly voice about Carson Wentz. But let's talk to the man who covers the Sixers right now. Before the Philadelphia Inquirer, Keith Pompey joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Keith, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing well. What's up, Mike? How you been?
I'm doing okay. Let's talk about that loss and and how that possibly happened on that last play. Describe what they were trying to do on that last play, because it certainly didn't work out.
I mean, I think it was one of the – well, first of all, they didn't have a timeout, which kind of affected things, but – you know, it looked like Ben Simmons had some options. I mean, he had either he can go to the rim or he can, you know, give the ball to Jimmy, who basically is the guy they want to, you know, take that last shot. You know, unfortunately, it just looked like once he shot the ball, he got the ball, and then both guys converged on him. And if you notice, he basically shot the ball off his back foot, and it was kind of like a desperation heave. I mean, I felt like they might have been a little bit better suited if Ben would have just drove the lane, you know, and possibly got fouled. It just looked like, you know, I mean, I just didn't like that play, especially when you got Joel Embiid trailing in the back. I just felt like, you know, I just didn't like it at all. I mean, I like Jimmy Butler when you give him the ball and you're running isolation and you could run the clock down, you know, but in that type of situation, getting the ball, a catch and shoot, so to speak, a dribble handoff. I think J.J. Redick is better suited shooting that shot, or Ben Simmons just taking it and going to the rim.
Yeah, I agree with you. And here's what it brings up, Keith, and you've heard it. I mean, it brings up people saying this end-of-game coaching, that sometimes this head coach is a little overmatched. Now, do you subscribe to that, or like, how can things change and get better?
You know, it's weird because, like, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I can see where people say that, but a lot of times it's also the Jimmy and the Joes as opposed to the X's and the O's. And I think that, you know, until you have, you know, Ben Simmons takes more shots from the outside, you know, until you get in the right situations, you know, it's kind of hard to always blame the coach. Now, again, you are right now, but see, it's also one of those things where people always want certain things. People, last time they ran a play for J.J. Redick at the end, people were like, what the heck is the coach doing? He needs to be fired. Now it's like, let's give the ball to Jimmy Butler. It just so happened you gave him the ball at the wrong situation. And again, no one told, you know, Brett Brown didn't tell Jimmy Butler to foul Paul George at the end of the play. You know what I mean? The previous possession. You know, he wasn't the reason why Paul George got open. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes we have to hold the players accountable. But at the same time, when it keeps happening like this, you do have to, you know, go after the coach and blame the coach.
Keith, they played well against Minnesota. They did play well against Oklahoma City. They should have won the game. So where is the chemistry right now? I know they've been searching for this elusive chemistry with Butler on the floor, and I'm wondering where you see it is now.
You know, I think it's getting better. I mean, I do. I mean, because if you noticed in the last three games, it was a little different. You know, it was more like they're doing, especially the last two, the last three. What they're doing is they're doing more of a two-man game with Embiid and Jimmy Butler, where you have Ben Simmons, you know, he's getting his spots. You know, JJ is getting his shots. Now, I think the major problem with this team, and like, you know basketball, it's like they rely so heavily on their top four players, talking about the big three and JJ Redick. And I think that, you know, Wilson Chandler, they got to get him more involved. He only took four shots that last game, you know. And then their bench. I mean, you know, Landry Shamet, Jonah Bolden, Mike Muscala. I mean, these guys have to give you more. And then those, the first two games, Minnesota and Indiana, they played well. This last game, you know, they just didn't, they weren't as effective, nor was Wilson Chandler. So that puts too much pressure on the other three to do, or the other four to do something. And it's just, I think they need to upgrade the bench. That's the major thing right there.
Yeah, and we're all screaming for it. And I wonder if you have any. Well, first of all, let me ask you this question, because I know where it's going to lead to the second question. Do you believe in their current form that they could beat any of the top three teams in the East in a seven-game series?
Nope. I mean, now, the thing is, Indiana, I think that they can beat Indiana if they get, like, home court advantage, just because they're a bad matchup for Indiana. But the other, like, I don't see them beating Boston. I do not see them beating Toronto or Milwaukee. I do not see it at all. And I think that, you know, like you said, they got to get some upgrades on the roster, because I just don't see it happening now with Indiana. I think whoever has home court advantage will win that one. But, nah, they can't beat the other teams right now.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. So that leads to what Elton Brand may have up his sleeve. Do you have any idea what they're looking for, who might be in play for them to get right now?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm thinking about that. And unfortunately for the Sixers, and I heard you, you know, you had Brett Brown on of maybe a month ago. And, you know, he was talking about Trevor Ariza,
yeah,
who would have been the best person for that team. You know, you're talking to people, and Washington is like, yo, we got him. We're not trying to buy him out. Sorry, Sixers, y'all aren't going to get him. And then so you look at it, and you're saying, wow, the buyout market and the trade market might not be as plentiful as it was last year, just because a lot of the teams who have players that the Sixers might want are still in contention for the playoffs. So you're looking at four guys who could be available, and you just don't see it happening. Like, one guy is Ernest Kanter. You know, he could be a backup five for the Sixers from the Knicks. Jabari Parker, I don't know. He doesn't play any defense. I don't know how that will work. Then you have, like, Robin Lopez, who could be a backup for Embiid as well, and he could give you, like, you know, quality minutes with Embiid being hurt. And then the one dude I think the Sixers, you know, are intrigued by, but they're going to stay away from, is like J.R. Smith. You know what I mean? Like, you could possibly trade for him, you know, next year after this season. Only 3.8 is, like, guaranteed on his contract. But again, like, we're talking about, are any of these guys really a good fit for the team? You know, Parker doesn't play any D.
Yeah, so, see, I think everybody is hoping that there's better than that that is available.
They're hoping, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they could surprise us, but, you know, I don't know. I would really like, you know what I would like, Mike? I would really like to see them play Corey Brewer more. I'm not saying he's a savior.
I agree.
But all I'm saying is let's see what he can do.
I agree. He's got experience and can help out in a lot of ways. Last question. The Embiid back situation. Played two games in a row on it with tightness. Charles Barkley ripped the Sixers for him playing against Minnesota. What's the situation with that? And are they planning to sit him here?
You know, it's one of those things. You know, I know the Sixers don't like people saying this or talking about this, but it's ultimately up to Embiid. I mean, he always makes the decision. You know, they may fight him or they may say this and say that, but it's typically his decision to make. And I would assume that he would play today and then probably rest on Wednesday, you know, to get ready for that West Coast trip. But, you know, it's a tough situation because, you know, they're so much better when with him on the floor. And when you take them off there, they struggle. Now, this could be a good game because, you know, Clint Capella is not playing. You know, they have they're going to go play an undersized team and play small ball. So this could be a good opportunity to rest them. But knowing it's on national TV, I mean, I think Embiid is going to do everything in his power to play tonight.
Yeah, I agree. So who guards Harden tonight? Will Ben Simmons guard Harden?
Man, I think if Jimmy Butler is able to go, because they're saying he's questionable with a wrist injury. If he's able to go, I think you got to put Jimmy Butler on him. I mean, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, came here supposed to be the lockdown player. Well, then you got to try to go up against Harden. I mean, you just have to. So I think you have to put Butler on him.
It'll be an interesting watch. Keith, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
All right, man. There he is. Keith Pompey covers the Sixers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.